to the Fordcast.
A Harrison Ford podcast.
Yes, I am Rachel Leishman.
I am Lauren Milberger.
This week is very, very special because it's...
Very special.
The Empire Strikes Back.
Da!
And it's also, we're recording this on a very important date for me, because it is July 31st, the birthday of J.K. Rowling and Harry Potter himself.
How old would he be today?
Harry?
Mm-hmm.
Oh. Well, I guess it's confusing. It's confusing because I never realized until I got older that I was like, oh, wait, this was all supposed to be in, like, 1994. Because everything that happened was, like, the way it's set up, I'm like, oh, this is in the past. And, like, I think a lot of people had that. It wasn't just me. Like, I'm not an idiot. Like, a lot of people were like, oh, this is still in the 90s. But, like, so everyone's like, well, how old is he? I'm like, I can't tell you.
How old is he in the play?
It starts with him being, like, 35.
Oh, so that's not present either.
Well, it time jumps a lot.
Oh, okay.
It goes through, all of this is happening in Albus Severus's third year at Hogwarts, I believe.
Maybe
third
we should wait on that because it just came out and people may have not tuned in to get a play-by-play of the
listen,
new Harry
guys,
Potter play.
Listen, guys.
We're here for Harrison Ford.
Yeah. Another Harry is more important.
Oh, that's right. Well, it would thematically fit into our forecast podcast. So I know that we've sort of talked about this a little bit before, but for people maybe who are tuning in, what is your personal experience with Empire Strikes Back?
I mean, like I said before, my brother made me watch them all, like, 4, 5, 6 in order. So it's like I don't remember the first time ever seeing Empire. I have Empire on my wall, though. I have an Empire poster.
See, it's my favorite. It's my favorite of the original trilogy.
Return.
Oh, that's right. You said that.
I love them Ewoks. I have Wicket on my bed, too.
You should tell him that one day.
But, hey, I got a stuffed Wicket on my bed. That's good. As I'm like, we're recording this, and I have a picture of Chris Pine just, like, laid out to focus on. I have, like, everything.
I'm worried that he's going to replace Harrison in your heart.
Oh, he, like, for who I would like to marry is, it's been replaced. It's Chris Pine. But, no, but Harry, it's different. That's, like, one of my favorite actors. Chris Pine is everything. He's beautiful, he's single, he's young. Mwah. He did replace my Harrison Ford banner on,
yes, anyone who follows Rachel on Twitter, that I was pretty shocked. It's now no longer Harrison Ford.
It's Chris Pine winking in a floral shirt and a trucker hat.
Well, I'm sure there's a picture of Harrison Ford like that, too.
Yeah, I clearly have a type.
You do. You
clearly have
a bit of a type, which we all do. I have an OPT type, which is why I love Empire, because I like couples who banter with each other and yell at each other and are angry. And
so you like Han and Leia?
Yes, I do. That's another reason why I really love this movie. But I, like you, do not remember the first time I saw this.
Yeah,
and I cannot remember if I saw Return of the Jedi first and then Empire. But, like, I watched this one a lot. In fact, when we went back to watch it, I was like, oh, I remember most of this and I haven't seen this in years. As opposed to a while ago, I did watch Return of the Jedi and I was like, oh, I forgot that happened.
Well, I had just rewatched all of them, like, not long ago. Like, I was trying to rewatch the whole Star Wars franchise before the movie came out, didn't get to do it. After the movie came out, watched all of them. And then when I have my laptop, they're on my laptop. And so whenever I go on planes and stuff, I just am like, I guess I'll watch Star Wars. And so I watched them when I went to California and stuff like that. But, yeah, no, I, like, didn't rewatch it before this. All I did was, like, go through scene. I'm like, yeah, it starts on Hoth, goes to, like, and I, like, remembered every scene. I was like, okay. Like, I've seen it so many times at this point that I'm like, I know exactly, like, the trajectory of...
And if you ask, like, most people who were involved in the production what their favorite one is, they say Empire.
Well, yeah, Empire is the Raiders of Star Wars. It's, like, the movie that, like, everyone's like, oh, that's my favorite. So it's, like, to be, like, for me in both franchises, to be, like, my favorite is Last Crusade and Return of the Jedi. People are like, well, what's wrong with you? Like,
well,
what is
going on?
Well,
I love Last Crusade. So we are together on that one. Well, the thing is, doing research and, like, reading so much about this, because it is one of my favorites, so I read all this really cool behind-the-scenes stuff. There's this great book called Making of The Empire Strikes Back. And I think it has to do with the director, Irving Kirshner, or Kirsch, as they used to call him. And I keep calling him Kirsch because I found out about him before I knew really his name from someone. I didn't know who directed Empire, like, because I wasn't, like, I kind of got, like, this, you know, back into Star Wars thing recently. Someone was knew him, who I couldn't, unfortunately, get in touch with for the show. But when she was in London, she knew him and kept calling him Kirsch. And so I kept calling him Kirsch for a while and didn't realize that wasn't, like, his actual name.
But yeah, Kirsch, but like, no, yeah. That's not his name.
No, his name was Irwin Kirshner. I was like, oh, I didn't know that. So I may just call him Kirsch. But he was chosen because he works really well with the actors, and I'm not saying, you know, other directors did, but I know George Lucas, you know, felt that he was much better at that than he was. And I think that's another reason why, is that there's so much character development, and there's just so much interesting, at least as a Han Solo fan, for me.
Well, the thing about this movie is it made... The things that ended up being cheesy in Return of the Jedi were because they worked so well in this movie.
So and a it's lot like, of that is execution, I think, too.
Well, yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, I Love You, I Know from Return of the Jedi kind of felt cheesy and flat because it worked so well in this movie that they tried to recreate it and they didn't need to.
Which, in general, like, if you try to recreate something, usually you're not going to get the genuine quality of
it. But this movie was, like, what made all of the sounding boards. And that's why I think The Force Awakens ended up being so good, was because...
I agree.
It had a movie like this where it's like, oh, you can introduce all these new ideas in a franchise movie and people still will grab to it. Because this, like, yeah, A New Hope is great because it, like, set everything up. But, like, this is the movie that kind of, like... Everything that it kind of set up, it twists in a weird way. So it's like, yeah, it's set up that there might be a love triangle. But then, like, this movie, like, confirms, like, no, there's not really a love triangle.
You know, I had thought that they wanted more of a love triangle and it was, like, edited because, you know, Harrison and Carrie were so good together. And I don't know why I thought that, because it's completely untrue.
You're just like, I'm going to make up a story about this
I think
movie.
It was because there were so many scenes that I know that are cut where there's more romantic type thing towards, like, Luke and Leia before they knew that they were going to be brother and sister. Like, have you seen the cut scenes?
No, because I think it's just funny because George Lucas is like, I always knew. And then you're like, no.
You
had no idea.
Yeah. And in fact, in the first draft, I found this out, Vader isn't even his dad.
So well, no, that was... Have you ever heard that story? Where no one knew?
Yeah. Harrison didn't know.
And they were sitting in the movie theater. No one even knew until they were releasing the movie. And the scene happens, and Vader says, I'm your father. And Harrison Ford looks over at Mark Hamill and was like, yeah, didn't tell me that. Like, and he, like, got mad because Mark Hamill didn't tell him. Mark Hamill wasn't allowed to tell anybody. And that's why today when I was going through it, I think it's so funny because then there's that scene... where Vader is talking to Luke, and he's saying, like, we can fight as father and son, like, when he's in the cockpit of the Millennium Falcon, and he just is like, oh, I am, like, he's like, it's Vader. But, like, when you get scripts, like, when you get the sides of the scripts, like, especially if you're in the scene, you get the whole scene. So that means that in that scene, Mark Hamill had a special one that had Vader's lines.
Oh, yeah.
And so he knew what was happening, and then Carrie Fisher and Billy Dee Williams had to just have lines that had no context on.
Well, I just watched the 30th anniversary sort of documentary thing on Empire, and Larry Kasdan showed, he's like, oh, this is what we had, and it was like loose leaf paper with the lines written on it. Like, I don't even think they had it printed. And Harrison actually asked Irwin, should I read the rest of the script? Is there information in there that I need to know? And he said, no, you don't need to read it. So he didn't even read it because he felt like he didn't have to. So even if it had been in there, his joke was, I just work here.
Great.
I got to read a little bit of the original draft by Lee Brackett, which is very dated and very sexist, actually, considering it's written by a woman. It has this sort of like old school idea to it, and George hated it. And particularly Leia is just like a pawn between like these two men. There were some general ideas that he wanted. He wanted it to be kind of like a love triangle between, like, Gone with the Wind. So that Luke would be Ashley, Han would be Rhett Butler, and she would be Scarlett O'Hara. Which is what the poster is. If you think about it, the poster is actually Gone with the Wind. Yeah.
Well, there are certain ones. That's different true, posters. Because, yeah. like, my poster that I have in my room is the one where Han and Leia are, like, kissing, like, Gone with the Wind. And Luke's on the bottom, and it's, like, and they're, I think one of the Tauntauns is there, I believe.
I think so.
I can't remember.
That's, like, the blue
It's the blue-purple one, yeah, because it matched my room best.
That's my favorite one, because it's so rich, and I like blues and
purples. Well, my oldest brother has that one walk, like, because my oldest brother has this house, and upstairs is, like, a huge TV, and, like, they're basically where they watch movies and stuff. And I walked up there because they were like, oh, like, will you go grab something up there for me when I was visiting? And I walked up and I saw it. And I, like, remember him always having it, but I hadn't seen it in years.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, I want that. Like, because I was thinking, I was like, hey, I want a Star Wars poster, but I want it to match my room. I don't want to just buy a Star Wars poster and then it be out of place in my room. Yeah. And then that one, like, was perfect because it, like, matched all my colors and everything.
It's a nice one, too. It's, like, that nice sort of thick, it looks like poster, which I really like.
But, no, what you're saying about Irvin, like,
Let's call him Kirsch.
Yeah, Irvin. He, like, from what I can tell, especially with, like, the scripts that him and Larry, or the scene.
The rewrites.
Yeah, the rewrites and everything. Yeah. It's, like, they're very, like, if an actor has an idea, they're, like, cool, bring it to me, like, let's
very
work
much
it
so.
Out.
And Harrison is.
But they almost seem a little, I feel like it was a little sexist in that regard. Just because they, like, didn't tell Carrie when it was clear, like, the huge fight was that they didn't
tell
her.
Well, do you
want
me to talk about that? Because I've actually read the transcript. I mean, we can skip ahead a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, like, I've read them too, but, like, they just, she was pissed because no one told her.
That's true.
That it was happening.
But also, at least my opinion of having read it is, Harrison got on set first. This is, by the way, for the Carbonite scene.
Yeah.
So we're skipping ahead. So Harrison got on set first, and Kirsch came up to him, and they were used to working together. And what we've sort of found out from previous episodes is Harrison likes to ask a lot of questions.
Yeah.
He works better that way. And here, all of a sudden, he has a director who appreciates his input, thinks that he's a fine actor, and wants to talk about all the things that he wants to talk about, which is another reason why I think he's so good in it.
Yeah.
Because he gets to work with a director who appreciates him, but also he gets to work the way he wants to work. Like, he considers himself sort of a assistant storyteller, and they're working it together. And what Rachel was alluding to is that they literally, like, would rewrite the scenes based on, well, this doesn't work, and the scene was bothering Kirsch. He just came and he was like, it's just not working, it's just not working. He also felt that that scene was Harrison's scene, and he said he did give him a little bit of a leeway.
Yeah, which, but then in that same instance, I understand why Carrie Fisher got mad.
Oh, I understand.
Like, it's not his scene.
I don't think it's sexist, but I completely understand why she got upset.
Well, I don't think it's, but I think it's more like, from what I could tell, it's like, oh, like, well, anything Harrison wanted, they were like, yeah, let's do it. Which it's like, Mark wasn't that kind of person. Like, he's not the, like, let me put my input in, because him and Carrie were, like, the younger ones.
Yeah.
So I don't think they necessarily.
I think, as an actor, and just came from a different school.
But
and
I do think it's kind of dumb that, like, they're like, oh, well, it's his scene. It's not his scene. It's a scene that literally is one person saying I love you, and the other one, like, literally, like, the I know says so much about his character, but it also says a lot about Leia. And so, like, to say it's just,
yeah,
like,
but Harrison came up with that.
No,
that
I know.
Yeah.
No. But I'm saying for that director to straight up just be like, oh, no, like, this is your scene. I was like, it's not. Because while he came up with that, he also needed to talk to Carrie, because that is very telling of Leia. That she says, I love you, he says, I know, and her reaction, where she just, like, you can see in her face, she's like, I understand.
I think it doesn't help that they both got on set first and started talking about it.
I think it was
and
just,
she
like,
came out later. It was, it was circumstances, and just to sort of update people about where we are, if you haven't read the transcript, is they figure out that the scene as is not working, which is, I love you, you better remember that, because I'll be back. And then he gets put in carbonite.
Which is dumb.
Yeah.
Which is terrible.
And in fact, just to go back a little bit, in the original draft, before George wrote his own draft, and then Larry came in and rewrote that draft, Han wanted to, or they wanted Han to find his stepfather.
What?
Yeah. That was the impetus, which means there was, like, no impetus at all. There was no, you know, strong directive for him to have an objective. It was, you need to find your stepfather because he's important. I don't want to. And so the end was not the carbonite. In fact, Vader's just like, I don't care about you guys. Go away. He goes off to find his stepfather.
That's what George Lucas wrote?
That was his idea, yes, but it was written by Lee Brackett. But this was all based on his ideas, yes.
Yeah, and without the car with...
It's such a great scene. So Kirsch just felt it wasn't working. Also, what he felt wasn't working, which I definitely agree, was that they're coming in not knowing what is going to happen in this scene. They don't know if they're going to kill all of them. They don't know if anyone's going to get killed. They don't know what's happening. The assumption of having been written is that everyone knows what's going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
So Harrison really wanted to add the line, what's up, buddy? Is that what he says to Lando?
I don't remember.
Something like that, yeah.
Sorry, I sneezed.
I'm sure it's fine. At least she didn't sneeze on me.
Yeah, good point. Yeah, no, I don't remember what he said.
So that whole scene, and this happens throughout the entire movie. Like, I have whole sections here where it's very obvious that it was improv'd, that this was added. I don't have time for anything else, sweetheart. Is that a line, I think? That was improv. Like, it was such a combination of what Larrick has originally and finally written, based on George Lucas's script, and this.
Mm-hmm.
So for them, it was about motivation. This needs to be real.
Yeah.
What I also love is that Kirsch talked about that this is an execution. He's being brought to an execution, mm-hmm. and wanting to bring sort of the stakes to it. And so it was all about, this doesn't feel real. Let's make this real. And he even fights Harrison on the, I know. He's like, oh, no, you'll say, you know, I'll be back. And he's like, no, if I say I know, it means it's about Leia, not about me.
Yeah. I knew he did that.
Yeah.
This movie just has a bunch of one-liners.
Really good ones. Yeah. And a lot of them...
This is Laugh It Up, Fuzzball.
Also, what was it? I'd rather kiss a Wookiee, and then he says, I can arrange that.
Yeah.
Harrison improv that.
There's also... Well, I'm trying to think of the other one-liners. There's the, who you calling scruffy-looking, right?
Oh, and then, low-down, stuck-up, half-witted, scruffy-looking
nerf herder. Who you calling scruffy-looking.
Which in the original script was... self-centered beacon eater. That was not improv, that was rewritten. And not like bacon, like a beacon.
Then I'm nice men, which, okay, I have a bone to pick with
that's
the internet.
That's improv.
But here's the, I have a bone to pick with the internet.
I know you love that, talk about that.
I love the fact that she says, I like nice men, and he says, I'm nice men. And people always correct it to, I'm a nice man. I'm like, that's not what he said. Like, you're making it grammatically correct, and like, that's, as someone who I was like, I studied English, like, it should drive me crazy. Like, no, it's so much cooler than Han Solo.
Well,
just
it's
like,
a rhythm.
I'm nice
what
man.
I love is that it's a rhythm, is that Harrison picked up on the fact that, you know, bump, 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 back and forth. Because the original line is, I'm not nice, or I'm not, or something like that. And he made it, he changed it, and it just sounds better.
Yeah, but no, it's just, it fits his character. He's like a
exactly.
smartass. He's just like,
yeah.
I'm nice men, and you're like, you're an idiot. You just said, I'm nice men. Like,
I think
it's not, it was like...
Don't you think that maybe he's like, mesmerized by her, maybe in a way?
Because no.
He's like just about to like kiss her, he's being an idiot.
That's the one moment where he's like, oh, I'm gonna be suave, because he's not suave. The biggest misconception about Han Solo is that he's like this like womanizing, like,
oh yeah, I don't know.
He's a hermit who hates everybody. And so like the only that moment was him very clearly being like, you know what, I'm gonna be suave. And then he goes, I'm nice men. And I was like, all right, dude.
Well, I love what Carrie said. She said that Han Solo is a cynical mercenary space pirate with a cream filling.
Yeah, he like people. I was like, he was an old man while he was like 20.
Oh
like,
yeah,
Han Solo.
Carrie
was just,
jokes about that.
Yeah, like Han Solo was just like always grumpy, and people are like, oh, he's like that. I'm like, no, you are completely wrong. He gets himself in situations and tries to talk himself out of it. And try is the key word.
He has a lot of bravado, but he, underneath it, he doesn't know what he's doing. Which is why he's such a compelling character, because he's not perfect. Like, I was never, I never gravitated towards Luke. He wasn't interesting to me.
Well, that's like the same deal with, like, going in all the Space Odysseys, and because I just saw it, like, that's the same deal of why people like Kirk so much. Because Kirk gets himself in so, like, especially New Kirk, gets himself in so many these problems, and you're like, if you would just shut up.
But that's also interesting.
Yeah, like, but that's the thing, is like, that's why Han Solo is interesting, because you're like, if you just shut the fuck up, you're fine. But it's the fact that they can't shut up, and they're like, I'm going to talk myself out, and you're like, you're not going to talk yourself out of anything. You're going to dig your hole deeper.
He's his own obstacle, in a way.
Yeah, that's why those characters are so, like, iconic and great, is because they are the reason they're in all these situations. Yeah, they're so brave, they get everyone out of them, they, like, save everybody, but they're also idiots. Like, they do things, and you're like, ugh.
They're flawed, and everyone
like,
wants to watch a flawed
that?
Character.
And that's, yeah, and that's why I think, like, that's why I think these shows and these movies are so successful, Like, that's why I think Star Wars, like, Han Solo, everyone loves Han Solo so much. I think that's why, like, Star Trek has done so well. I think that's why Doctor Who is such a big deal, because they have these heroes who are, like, half of the problem is because they do something.
They get in their own way.
Yeah, and so then they're like, oh, crap, like, now I have to fix what I did. And that's the same thing, like, back to Harry Potter. It's the same thing why Harry Potter's so successful, because, like, Harry Potter is an idiot. And so half the time he's like, well, I did it. Guess I gotta fix it. And so it's like those characters are relatable. And I feel like, and that's why Han, like, even Leia sometimes isn't relatable. Like, I always related more to Han Solo than Leia, because Leia is, like, kind of good at everything. She's kind of
Ginny putting Weasley. Up a wall.
We're just gonna keep going back to Harry Potter. She's kind of Ginny Weasley, where she's, like, perfect at everything. But Leia's more of a character. She's, like, feisty and she, like, fights. But she's very much, like, oh, I'm Princess Leia. I'm good at literally everything. And now in the new movies, they're making her more, and the books, they're like making her more flawed, which I'm like, good. They're like making her a human.
Yeah. Because even Carrie Fisher during this time said that she felt that her character was like one dimensional.
Yeah. She very much is. And that's why, like, yeah, it's so great that, like, girls grew up with Hermione and Leia and Padme and all these women roles, but they still were kind of like, this is what I'm good at. The exception is Hermione, because Hermione is, like, was written by a woman, so she actually is, like,
but in a group of boys doing
That's the thing. It's, like, it's in a group of boys where it's, like, then you watch, like, all of these movies that we have now, like, the female Ghostbusters, where it's, like, oh, no, those are just four awesome women kicking ass, busting ghosts, and they're not surrounded by men.
Seeing Ghostbusters felt revelatory to me. Like, it was a kernel of what I felt watching The Force Awakens was, oh, we can do that.
Yeah, because
there
was still one girl in a group of boys.
Exactly. So it was like a kernel of this feeling, even though I grew up loving Leia.
Yeah.
Like, I had a little Han, you know, I had a little Leia doll, and Han and Leia were like my couple. But it was just a kernel in that. Whereas Ghostbusters was like, oh my God, it's only us. Oh my God, I didn't even notice there wasn't a love interest at the end.
Well, I think with the news, like, with Rogue One, and like the new Star Wars. God, I'm losing my mind today.
Star Trek.
It's all in there. Well, because I was gonna bring up, I was like, I think they're gonna make it more Rey heavy in a way. Like, I think, because that's what I've noticed the trend of movies is doing. Because, like, in the most recent Star Trek, like, Uhura ends up, like, kicking ass. Which,
of women. I mean, we have the first woman, nominee of a major party.
Well, yeah. But I'm saying, but, like, especially with movies, now they're like, oh, we made these women characters and, like, put them off. Like, they're there, but they're not great. They're there, so we're, like, we filled the quota of women characters.
There's more of a thought process to, like, push up women characters. Yeah, like, plus, Kathleen Kennedy is running Lucasfilms. I mean, that helps, too.
Oh, yeah. But, like, it's very clear because, like, with the female Ghostbusters, the two, like, really big heroes in Star Trek being two women, with, like, all of these, like, Rogue One having a female lead, Force Awakens having a female lead, it's very clear that they're making, like, making it really obvious. Leia being so strong growing up, and then watching it now, I'm like, wow, Carrie was right. Like, she is very kind of one-dimensional in a lot of ways.
Yeah, but also back then, that was all we had. So
That's what I mean. But, like, looking at all these, I'm like, oh, she is one-dimensional. Like, as you look at everything we have now, which still isn't a lot, but it's like, wow, like, the one character, the guys are always like, well, you have Princess Leia. It's like, well, we have a one-dimensional character that is now becoming very three-dimensional and having all these things. But back then, we're like, wow, she was just a perfect, pretty princess who could shoot a gun and, like, knew, but was feisty. That was, like, her quirk, where she was feisty.
I feel like, though, in this movie, they used that to the advantage. And, in fact, there was a scene in Cloud City that they filmed where they had to redo it because it was too subtle. And I think a lot of the edits, that scenes that got cut out, had to do with that, is that you don't know what she's thinking. You don't know if she actually is, like, in love with Han Solo or what's going on. And so at the end, when she says that she loves him and he says, I know, it actually has a bigger impact. So in a sense, they sort of used what they had for this character.
Yeah. I just think it's just interesting because now, like, I remember growing up thinking, oh, wow, she's the best. And then, like, seeing all of these characters now, it's like, wow, we were kind of chipped. Like, it went like, well, Leia gave way to Padme. Mm-hmm. But even before that, Leia gave way to Hermione, because that's the same, like, that Golden Trio concept is the same.
Oh, totally.
Concept of, like, Han, Luke, and Leia.
Totally.
Where it's, like, the brash, I'm gonna do what I have to do, versus, like, the hero, and then the smart girl. It's, like, that concept has gone on forever, but it's, like, we're progressively making the girls more and more, but it's just very interesting to see the comparison.
Well, because it's time, it's the feminist revolution. It's, you know, building up where women are becoming more substantial in life, in society, and so mm-hmm. it's reflecting on screen.
Yeah. No, totally.
Yeah. So I have a question for you.
Okay.
Because I didn't know this until very, very recently. What color do you think that Han's jacket in Hoth, or his snow jacket, is? What did you think it was growing up?
The fur one? The one with the fur hood?
Yeah, yeah.
Like Hunter Green?
Oh, wow. That's not even the ones that I thought. Okay. I thought it was blue.
No, it's not blue.
But the...
What color is it?
It's brown.
Okay, so I was close. Like, yeah. I wasn't far. You're, like, in another dimension.
No, but here's the thing. There are dolls that have a blue jacket. I talked to some friends of mine who were like, oh, well, actually, it's a thing. People, you know, blue versus brown. I go blue because that's what I thought it was as a kid.
These movies,
I have no idea.
These movies have the dumbest things that people fight about. Oh, what color is Han's jacket? Listen.
No, but it's a visual thing. That's crazy. That, like, it had to be something in color correction that got messed up.
There is so many things about these sci-fi movies that people, like, focus their attention on. I'm like, who gives a shit if his jacket is blue or brown?
Do you want to hear a couple stories about drunk Harrison Ford then instead?
Yes, that is more my speed.
Okay, so I feel like everybody knows the Rolling Stone story, which is that that Carrie and Harrison
were drunk in Cloud City.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Because the night before that they were hanging out with the Rolling Stones mm-hmm. all night, because how can you say no to that? So they're very happy in Cloud City. But apparently, so I almost said someone else's name. Mark Hamill. Oh, no.
Marco Polo.
Him too, actually. It's funny you should say that.
What?
Yeah. What? Marco what?
I said Marco Polo. Like the game.
Yeah, I know.
And the Explorer.
And I'm riffing off of your joke.
Okay. I was like, wait, what is going on?
I'm such a good actor that Rachel thought I was serious.
I was like, Marco Polo had nothing to do with this movie. What are you about to say?
I was yes-anding you.
It's like, funny you should say that. Marco Polo actually wrote Star Wars. I'm like, all right, hold on.
Well, that's a whole other story, too. So this is, I think, is really interesting. So they went to film all of the outdoor sort of Hoth scenes without Harrison Ford. In Norway, uh-huh. But the weather was so crazy that they got to a point where they all couldn't leave. It was whiteout. But they were running, like, they were on a schedule, and this was all George Lucas's money. Like, he put all of his money from Star Wars into it, and it was double the budget of Star Wars. Like, time is money. So they were like, well, let's get Harrison out here, and the stuff that we were going to film on set, we'll just do here. So he had to take, once he got there, he had to take a train, but then there was an avalanche, and they couldn't get him through, so they gave a bottle of vodka to this plow guy.
Oh, yeah, and they drank it on the way.
They drank it on the way back, and so he comes out of the plow, like, pretty much, like, toasted and drunk, and then has to be in costume the next day at 7:30 in an outfit that was built for inside. So the reason he looks so miserable is that he's freezing. He's freezing.
Because he is miserable. Cool.
Although something from that section of the book that I read, which I thought was cool, was one of the guys said that when he arrived on set and he got to know Harrison, that he felt that he was urbane, self-assured, and charming.
Charming.
Since it's a Harrison Ford podcast. Oh, and also, Cloud City in the original draft mm-hmm. was called Hoth.
They don't know what... They're like, nah, Hoth, it's a planet.
And Lando was a clone.
So it wasn't really Lando?
No, he was a clone, like Boba Fett kind of a thing. Like, he was Lando, but he was a clone of somebody else.
Oh, boy.
They decided to do away with that along with Han's stepfather. So we also thank Larry Kasdan.
Yeah, because they're like, George Lucas, you're a fucking idiot. And that's why... And then we gave him 3 movies.
Well, here's the thing. I think he's a really great idea man, and one of the reasons that he took himself off of being the director of the second movie was he wanted to control everything, and he realized that if he wanted everything to go that he, the way that he wanted to, was he needed to be the producer. And he hired Kirk.
Which is what he should have done for the first three movies.
Exactly. And in fact, I found out he doesn't like to write. I was in shock. Although some of the dialogue that we may have time to get into, if not read the book, makes Cruise sense it. Why he doesn't like to write. Although...
George Lucas is like, has such great ideas, and then you're like, maybe don't execute your own ideas.
Well, he was really smart to hire Larry Kasdan, and he hired him off of his first draft of Raiders of the Lost Ark. He said, this is really good. Hey, do you want to come in and, you know, sort of do a rewrite? Mm-hmm. And then, you know, he ended up doing the whole thing. Which, speaking of Larry, I thought that I could read the stage directions or action lines that he wrote for the first time that Han kisses Leia, because I think it's pretty funny. It sounds like fan fiction, and I think our listeners will appreciate it. So
go for it.
Here we go. He kisses her now with slow, hot lips. He takes his time, as though he had forever, bending her body backwards. She has never been kissed like this before, and it almost makes her faint. When he stops, she regains her breath and tries to work up some indignation, but finds it hard to talk. She tries to speak, but his mouth stops her. A swimming giddiness spins her around until, before she knows it, she is kissing him back. Finally, Han breaks the kiss and looks at her. They stand there for a moment looking at each other. Leia is totally, frantically confused by her feelings.
This is the fanfiction that I literally would close after, like, the first
line. But wait, there's more. First with her eyes and then her body. Ugh. She withdraws, detaches from Han. She slips from his arms and hurries from the cabin.
That's
fan fiction by Larry Kasdan.
Dumb. I literally, that's the kind of stuff I would open up and be like, no, I'm good.
It's pretty funny. That was the one that really sort of, you know, caught my eye. And this is actually from the version where...
With hot lips. Ugh.
I think that that Kasdan may be living vicariously through Han. Maybe? He likes it.
No, I think he's up for he wants to be Leia.
Maybe. But what's
with
interesting...
hot lips.
What's also interesting about this is that the script that I read has a lot of the cut stuff. Like, if anyone's seen the cut scene or the long version of this kiss, she says, okay, hot shot, and then he kisses her again, and it's like a long sort of kiss, and then obviously, like, C-3PO interrupts them. Carrie plays it like, okay, I'm into this, but the script is not like that at all.
It's
like
she's stopping
him.
Carrie Fisher was into it.
How can you not?
That's straight up Carrie Fisher not acting. She's just like, I'm into this.
Do you want to talk about Yoda?
What about Yoda?
What are your thoughts on Yoda?
Yoda's
this
great.
This first time.
Oh, I don't think I've ever told this story. Have I ever told the Yoda story with my best friend?
I don't think so. Tell us.
So, my best friend and I have two best friends. One, I went to her wedding, and my other best friend was the other maid of honor with me. And so Jessica and I are big Star Wars geeks. We've been since we were kids. Her and I, like, are geeks about everything. But, when my brother, when I was younger, had a life-size Yoda doll that was in his bedroom. And Jessica, the one that's a geek with me, she came over to visit me. And the way my old house in California was set up was, like, you walked upstairs and there were, like, there was a big center section of our house that had, like, cabinets. And then there were two rooms on one side and two rooms on the other. And then if you keep going back is, like, the laundry room and where the computer was. And so when you first walked up the stairs was my bedroom, and then you would have walked past the cabinets and go down this hallway to get to the computer, but my brother's room was, like, right before you would turn to go down the hallway.
Mm-hmm.
And so she walked up, and my brother's door was open, and she saw Yoda and just, like, screamed. Like, she knew it was there, but I guess it was, like...
It just surprised her?
Well, like, it's happened to me before. Like, I used to have a Frank Sinatra poster in my bedroom growing up, and I, like, turned and saw it on the wall one day, like, the reflection of it, and thought it was a person, and screamed, and then realized, oh, it's just my poster, and it was, like, that for her. Like, she turned and was like, and then realized, oh, it's the Yoda doll. And okay. Instead of just admitting that she goes, I thought, like, I didn't know what it was, it freaked me out, and then I realized, oh, it's just Yoda, she goes, Yoda, oh my god, I didn't know you were home, I would have changed. And I was, like, 13, and I turned around, I went, what? She goes, I got scared of Yoda and I was just trying to make it funny. I was like, it was funny enough that you got scared of Yoda. But then you had to add the quote to Yoda. So that's like anytime anyone's ever like, tell me your thoughts on Yoda, I think of that story where I'm like,
Well, his original name was Buffy and he looked like a garden gnome.
Was this George Lucas is doing?
Yep. All George Lucas. Frank Oz wrote several page biography on Yoda and they tried to get him an Oscar nomination, but the Academy deemed that puppets were not eligible.
Yeah.
But he's a person. It's not a puppet. It's a person who's doing the performance.
Well, actually, the Academy then went back on their word.
Oh, did they? What, for, like, cartoons and stuff?
Well, no, wasn't Andy... Andy... What is his name? The guy who is Snoke, Gollum... the guy who's motion capture.
Yeah. That's right. I guess they did, because this would be like an early motion capture type thing.
Yeah, I mean, it's the same
deal. You're right.
Deal.
So they did. But back then they said no. But they really lobbied for him to get
it. But I guess it's a different thing because he would get nominated for...
He did the action and the movement. And,
but he wouldn't be like an actor or anything. It would be like basically for like what we do for like CGI work in
like
movies.
Like voiceover in a way. Like... Or but like it would cartoons be like, getting nominated for, you know,
it would be like Emmys. It'd be like what we do for like the CGI work in movies now, where it's like special effects. That's what he should have been nominated for. It would have been the special effects of
this movie.
It was
also new. I mean, they were the pioneers of a lot of what became special effects back then. It was, you know, they were doing all the sort of state-of-the-art stuff. What I did find interesting was that they didn't have what movies have now called Video Village, which is that you can do playback, you know, on set.
Yeah, and they like sit under the little tarp things.
You have to wait for the rushes.
I'm acting it out.
Yeah. If you can't see everybody, she's acting out.
I'm acting out the tarp things that they watch the movie under.
Now, some actors will not watch that because they don't want to see how they look, but back then, they'd have to wait and then do something called rushes and watch sort of like that day's things. And they said it was so hard with Yoda because you didn't know if it was working.
Yeah, because it didn't... Well, they're called dailies, too, aren't they? Where they like...
Yeah.
Yeah. I know the biz. I know it.
I think things have, you know, different names, stuff like that. But yeah, it was a nightmare.
Yeah, I can imagine. I'm eating Oreos, guys. But I can't imagine, like...
It's the first time they're using its puppet.
And he looked fucking crazy.
Well, they wanted it to be realistic.
Yoda, actually, my favorite meme on the internet is Yoda on Luke's back.
Oh, well, yeah, because it's great. And then they redid it with Daisy and Mark, so it's like...
That's also a funny, sad story. I think I've told that one, though.
What do you mean,
the Yoda backpack?
Wait, what do you mean, your Yoda backpack?
No, oh.
Oh, people call it the Yoda backpack?
No. Oh, my God, this story is so sad. Okay, so, I was in Disneyland when I found out my grandpa died.
Aww.
Favorite person in the world. Loved my grandpa. They were trying to not tell me. Like, my mom, like, called me that morning, and she had already known, because I was in California visiting my best friends. And she was like, hey, can I talk to Shirley? My best friend's mom, and told her, like, hey, her grandpa died, but we just want her to have a fun day in Disney, and we'll tell her after.
Yeah.
Well, my idiot cousin, everyone knew, don't tell Rachel, don't say anything to Rachel, except my cousin texted me when I got off of Space Mountain, or... We got out of, like, Honey, I Shrunk the Kids, because it was still there. And I got a text message that said, are you okay? And me and my cousins very rarely text each other.
Yeah.
Unless we're, like, in the same city. And I saw that, and just, it was like, I knew. And I called my mom. She was like, I didn't want to let you know. We're on our way up. Grandpa died. I'm sobbing outside of Star Tours. Like, sobbing, because I love my grandpa. And my best friend has on a Yoda backpack. And, like, I tell this story, and I laugh now because I'm like, it's, like, a weird way of my grandpa being like, I want you to laugh. Because all of the stormtroopers swarmed my best friend because of her Yoda backpack. So I look up from crying, and we're literally encased by stormtroopers. And I was like, what's going on? And they're poking her backpack. And I was
that's commitment to your acting.
Sobbing. And like, it ended up being one of the weirdest funny days ever because I was so upset. And so if you look at all the pictures from the ride, it's just me sobbing on Space Mountain.
Aww.
It was like, I laugh now because I think about, like,
Well, it's good you have, like, a happy memory of, like, a sad heart. Oh, yeah, like, I was devastated. Heart.
But then you look at all these pictures, and it's literally just sobbing. And, like, they're in the picture. It's one of my favorite pictures. My best friend hates it because she got her wisdom teeth pulled. So oh, her cheeks were really chubby. And it's me, her. I am all puffy because I was just sobbing with some stormtroopers. So it's like my favorite picture ever. Just I hate that you post this every time it's my birthday. And I'm like, I think it's one of the funniest pictures we have. Because it's like we both, like I was just sobbing. You just got your wisdom teeth out. We're surrounded by stormtroopers. And like, yeah.
Star Wars saved the day.
I always think of that when I was like, Yoda makes me think of the weirdest things, apparently.
I always think of Miss Piggy, because Frank Oz, to me, just sounds like Miss Piggy. He doesn't have that different of a range in voice. I mean, Yoda obviously has a specific voice, but I hear the underpinnings of Miss Piggy every time I hear Yoda.
My brother used to do the traffic report as Yoda on his college news radio station.
I told you when I met Carrie Fisher that she spoke Yoda to me, right?
Yeah, you did. Carrie
needs to know. She said, there is... No, oh, I'm going to butcher it. There is no do, only try. Everyone's going to hate me. I'm going to get all
the tweets. There is no... I have it on my wall in my room. BRB, guys. Keep talking, Lauren. We're keeping
this in. I'm literally just going to walk.
She's going to go find it and get it. I'll talk about some trivia. How about that?
Do or do not, there is no try.
There we go.
You messed me up. I was fine. And then you fucked up the line. So I was like, I don't remember what it was. But that's the thing
was, when Carrie said it to me, I don't think I knew. Like, I think I knew it was from Star Wars time. This was, like, before my resurgence of Star Wars. But I, like, gave her the weirdest look. Also, because when I got there at the book signing, Barnes & Noble is very big about, you know, no memorabilia. And I love her books. I mean, I love her in Star Wars, but I love her books. And these... Some people sit down and they have these 8x10s of Return of the Jedi. They pick
fucking
up
an autograph hound.
Yep. They but
my hatred.
But they were also dressed up, so I think that they were fans.
Nah, they were.
All right. Well, anyway, they pick up the sign that says, you know, the piece of paper, no memorabilia, and they leave. And I was like, I'm a true fan. I'm here because I like her books. So that when I told her, you know, you make me want to be a writer, and she said that to me, I gave her the weirdest look. And then I said it to a friend of mine, and they were like, was it this line? And I went, yeah, that's what she said. And
you're like, Yoda.
It's Yoda, Lauren. She spoke Yoda to you. I'm like, I had a feeling it was something. But I just gave her the weirdest look. I was like, okay.
I'm just so excited to fuck with her at Comic-Con. Because I told Lauren off air, I'm wearing a shirt that's a crop top that says, boldly go away, and it has the Starfleet symbol on it, and I'm bringing Carrie Fisher a Coke. that's what I'm going to do. Because I feel like she would look at my shirt and think it's fucking hilarious.
Do you think she's going to get it?
I don't know, but I think it'd be funny if I walk up in, like, a Star Trek shirt and be like, oh, no, I'm a big Star Wars fan. I just thought it'd be funny if I came in a Star Trek shirt that says, boldly go away. I have a Coke, like, a Coke can for you.
Here's something I think you would like. Apparently, during the scene when Lando, you know, greets Leia and Han, mm-hmm. Billy Dee was saying dirty things to Carrie. And Fitting. She was saying them, like, right back. That's also another really cool improv, is that when Han says, you old smoothie, it's literally like a whole bunch of lines, and he just like made it so concise. And I think that's a great example of like how Harrison is able to make it more believable with his improvs, you know, the core of the character, but also like film is visual. You don't need all those lines.
No, but I also feel like Harrison Ford is like partially like me. I like... It's terrible as an actor, but, like, I, like, learn lines, but then a lot of the time I'm like, I'm gonna condense them to make it sound more like something I would say, which isn't great, especially when people are like, no, you have to say the lines I give you, but yeah. I'm like, no, like, you have to make it sound like something someone's gonna say.
Well, yeah, but, like, here's an example. So the original line was, the improv that we know is, you old smoothie. The original line was, she's traveling with me, Lando, and I don't intend to gamble her away, so you might as well forget she exists.
So that's too much.
Exactly. It's too much.
No one would say that.
Exactly. And it doesn't
sound... If anything, he would sound... be like, nah, calm down. She's mine. Like, that would be the, like, way it would work.
Yeah. So, like, and that is just, like, I couldn't believe how much through this entire movie, like, and little things, too, added. Like, when he comes in right before the first kiss there, in the Falcon, and she's like pushing him away, and she goes, "You make it so difficult sometimes." Or right before that, he added saying Leia, like, and it just brings this warmth.
Oh, when
to the
she
scene.
Says, "Don't," yeah, I've always loved that where she yeah. says, "I stop calling him," and then he is like, "All right, Leia."
Yeah, like
because
it's
the first time he actually calls her Leia.
Exactly, and it makes it genuine in that he's not just like, you know, a womanizer. Like, he has general feelings for her.
He's not.
He's
and I bet you he's a little space virgin. No one wants to admit it.
But like, Harrison understood that, and like, and it's just. If it wasn't for Harrison Ford, we would have gotten, and Irving Kirshner, who works so well with the actors and is so diplomatic, and, like, I want to be directed by him. Everything I've read, he just, like, is able to, like, he said in the transcript, well, you know, Harrison is very sensitive, and Carrie was like, and I'm not? And she's like, and he went, well, did I say that? No, of course not. Like, he's just so diplomatic. Oh, also, we should probably add about the transcript that Carrie felt really bad after getting mad
yeah,
at Harrison.
Yeah, she, like, apologized, but...
But the problem was is that she kept apologizing, and he didn't want to take it, unfortunately. But Irving...
Also, Irving, like... Irvin... God, I keep messing it up. We've called him, like, four different names.
I know, and I said I would just call him Kirsch.
Because you called him Irwin for a
oh,
while.
Did I?
Yeah. And then I called him Irving. His name's Irvin. Guys...
Kirsch. We just call him Kirsch.
Kirsch.
Because that's the name that I learned.
He, like, also good on him for dealing with all that, though.
Yeah, oh my
god.
This
is, like, the movie that everyone's like, no, those two would fight and then be fine
and
then
fight.
Can I tell
you other stuff that was happening? The production designer died of meningitis. Everyone was getting the flu. Carrie got sick. Carrie was passing out because, she was only, like, 95 pounds, so the fumes were really bad. The makeup was giving her allergic reactions. Everyone went on vacation because they were like, I can't take this anymore. Harrison went to Morocco with his kids, came back with, like, dysentery. But, like,
no, dysentery was Indiana Jones.
Indiana Jones, yeah. He came back, he was sick. Then eventually he got the flu. Like, it's really kind of, you know, crazy what was happening. And then, of course,
Harrison Ford is bad luck on Star Wars movies.
But the movie came out so well. Everyone was just like, it was like through hell. Like, by the end of it, they were all exhausted.
That's his track record. If he goes through hell, the movie's great.
Oh, I guess that's right. I guess
because the most iconic Indiana Jones scene ever was while Harrison Ford had dysentery and just didn't.
Yeah, which is why I said that by accident.
Yeah, he just didn't want to fight the guys.
Which we will talk about, you know, next
week.
Yeah. Well, this movie did really well. It ended up being number one for the entire year. It made its money back for sure. People were waiting online for like 3 hours to get into this and maybe didn't even get in. Like 750 people.
So it was like the first...
It was the first like...
Sellout.
Yeah, but I was just surprised that like you would wait in line for that long and still not even get into the movie.
I mean, I understand that because... You're also talking to a girl who I've gone to midnight premieres since I was a kid.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember...
but now
I
we can buy tickets in advance,
no,
so
but like,
we know that we're going to get in.
But...
You couldn't do that back then.
No, but I remember, like, trying to get tickets is insane. Like, Harry Potter, like, people would try and get tickets day of and I would laugh at them. I'm like, I've had these tickets for 2 months. Like, when the first Star Trek came out, I remember me and my brother were like, gotta get these. Like, I jumped off of the subway to buy my Force Awakens ticket. And they were selling out all over. Like, it was.
I know.
Like, me and my friend Lauren Poktroff had to get them, like, for, like, a weird-ass time that Friday.
My friend and I couldn't get on the website or the app.
Yeah, everything was closing.
She's texting me going, we're not going to get in. I'm like, calm down. We're going to get our tickets. And so the first one that, like, got into the app, we just, like, bought four. Like, we just bought
a
bunch.
I was at Allegiance. I was at Allegiance on Broadway.
Oh,
they announced
okay.
It came out.
Took me a second to get that.
I was like, Lauren, try and get them. I got to, like right before Union, before my thing went out, Lauren texted me and goes, I can't do it. I got off the subway, bought the tickets, got on, and got home.
But something that was interesting that the book sort of brought up was that this is sort of a landmark in the history of pop culture in the sense that, like, things like this, I mean, obviously the first Star Wars, but this was the first time people had to wait that long to find out what was going to happen for something. Whereas now we're sort of used to that. And a great example was brought up about, like, Victorian novels. It was like, you waited a month to find out what was going to happen. You didn't wait, like, 2 years.
Oh, well, yeah.
So it was, like, this sort of new thing, which we take for granted, I think. And
Something else which I didn't realize too was a lot of people who were interviewed in line were like, why do you want to see like the really early show? Like, can't you wait? And some of the answers weren't just like, I can't wait. It was, oh, well, when the print is goes through projector too many times, it gets a lot of scratches. And I really want to see the pure version of this.
We're like, what?
Whoa, yeah.
Now we're like, I don't want anyone to tell me what happened.
And then I love the fact that there was someone tried to do a Guinness World Record thing, and it was two girls, and that made me so happy that they informed all of the theater owners that they were going to see it 40 or 50 times.
Good girls. Did they?
Yeah. They apparently did. I don't know if it was actually a record or not, but they did it.
I'm sure now it's not. But.
And they were fined by the Directors Guild because there was a time when you weren't allowed to have the director's name at the end. I know. And George Lucas was really pissed about that, and they fined them, and now it's like everyone does it.
Sorry, I made a what the fuck face.
She did,
and
it was
then
brilliant.
She responded to it, and then I realized that, like, they were like, what just happened?
It was like a moment of silence. We'll take a picture of it, and we'll show everybody.
I was like, well, what? Yeah, because that doesn't make any sense to me.
And then I also thought it was funny, they had some of the comment cards from people, and females 16 to 20 went, I hope you find Han Solo.
Same. I skipped most to the beginning of Return of the Jedi.
I just wanted to know.
No, I just skipped it because I'm like, I only...
I only
want...
Yeah. But I think in the sense of Harrison's career, this is a really important piece, and why he's so good in it is because he finally found a director that worked with him the way that he likes to work, works well with directors, listened to him, felt he was important. And I think it probably gave him confidence for the rest of
the movies. Well, because it was the
movies.
First movie that wasn't a newcomer.
Yeah.
Like, this was something that they've already done. It was, like, he had done a couple of movies prior, and, like, but those movies, like, they were like, oh, yeah, he was in this Star Wars. Well, Empire kind
of,
like...
Yeah, and they also made a conscious effort that they wanted to give Han more of a backstory. That's why they invented Lando, and they wanted Lando to be more sort of like a suave, sort of James Bond type, as opposed to the sort of roguish, you know, seat of...
Pirate.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, yeah, I think the thing about Empire, and then that's why from now on we have... I'm going to say good movies.
Yeah, for a long time. The 80s are really good.
For a long time. And then the 90s come. 90s and early
2000s. Not that bad. The 2000s are really bad.
Hollywood Homicide. but, yeah. I think
that we're going to have a good time.
Yeah.
Do you want to read his thoughts on Force 10 for Navarone that I found?
Yeah, because it's too long to tweet.
Yeah, don't. Yeah.
All right.
Just because it fits into, you know, the journey that you guys have been on with us.
Yeah, it says, I saw the success of the first film as an opportunity to diversify, says Ford. To become known as an actor, not as the person attached to Star Wars, which could have given me a beginning and an end to my career, but no middle. I know that a certain segment of the audience prefers to see the same thing dependably brought by a familiar face, but there's also a kind of dependable quality to a person that can be there. The humanity of that person is available regardless of the party they're playing. Unless you're in a piece of total talk shit like Force 10 from Navarone, in which you can't do anything.
So he agrees with us on Force 10 to Navarone.
It's interesting he says that.
Yeah.
Because there are so many people that are pigeonholed.
Yeah, I mean, and we've talked about that he really was trying not to be pigeonholed. But
more like people thought, a lot of people for a long time were like, oh, the Harry Potter kids are going to be that way, and they're not.
Yeah.
But then
also,
you look at...
He's tried really hard to take roles where that are outside
not,
the box on purpose.
Yeah,
totally,
which is what
purpose.
they're doing, which I'm like, good for you. Like, he kind of made it so it's like, you don't have to be pigeonholed. Like, you can play this iconic character, but then play other stuff. Like,
yeah, you show people that you can stretch, and then it's different, and then they get the idea of you only being that person out of their head.
Well, because I, like, you said that, I was thinking, I was like, yeah, well, William Shatner has kind of always been pigeonholed.
But he also took advantage of that, though.
Well, yeah. Where there's, like, the two spectrums, where it's like, Harrison Ford's like, I'm gonna play this character, everyone's gonna love it, but then I'm also gonna do all this other stuff. William Shatner's like, nah, I'll just be James T. Kirk. And in Boston Legal, basically, play the same
In Boston Legal was the
way.
First time that I was like, oh, he's funny. Oh, okay, I can take this.
Have you never listened to that comedy album?
No.
It might have just been an album. There's a song called Common People. Oh, boy. It literally is Ben Folds singing and William Shatner's going, I want to live like common people. Oh, I want to do what common people do. And it's great.
I'll file that with Spock's album.
Spock's album. It's great. Rest in peace, Leonard Nimoy. Right,
so I love Leonard Nimoy. That was The Empire Strikes Back, huh?
Yes, it was.
I think that was fun.
Yeah.
Anything that we missed that you want to talk about?
Nah. I looked around like I was going to see something.
At the myriad of papers that we have here.
I wasn't even looking at the paper. I think I looked at a pillow. I was like, ah.
Oh, here's something that I also really liked, too, was Kirsch talked about how in Star Wars that a kiss is like a love scene or like a sex scene. And that even Harrison said, I don't have to, you know, touch or hug her to, like, you know, make it a love scene. But he said that particularly about, like, the scene when they first kissed that I really liked, that was, it was two very vulnerable human beings being, trying to communicate with each other, being thwarted by every last second by another piece of machinery in their way.
Ugh.
Oh, I loved it. That they're two vulnerable human beings, and that's what I love about them, is that under all the bravado, and that's why they're perfect for each other, is that they care.
Yeah,
it's a big cream filling.
Guess.
Han Solo's a big cream filling.
Yeah, I guess. I guess that's true.
So next week,
2 weeks.
2 weeks. I always do that.
We have every other week, Lauren.
I know. I keep thinking, I don't know. Like we're a TV show or something.
No, we are not.
Yeah. Do you want to end with the little Fordcast Theater?
What? Oh, sure.
Yeah.
What? Oh, I maybe have lost mine. No, I didn't. Oh, so
we're gonna
us two actresses.
Yeah. So we kind of alluded to the fact of George Lucas's writing prowess, in dialogue, and so I thought that we would do a new segment here on the show called Fordcast Theater presents a dramatic reading of Star Wars: The Empire Strikes Back.
The Emperor.
Did I say The Emperor?
Yes.
Oh my god, I need
The Empire Strikes Back by George Lucas, April 1st, 1978 draft.
So to end, we're going to do the final scene from that draft
I'll be playing Leia.
I'll be playing Lando and Luke. I'll try to change my voice so that you guys
I'll
know.
Also read the stage directions.
That's
I'll lower
good.
My voice.
That'll be good. Okay. All right. So this is the end. Lando is speaking to Leia about going off and finding
Say
Han.
Who you are, or... Do
Same
your,
before
do
I say
your
it?
Voices. Just do your voices.
Okay. So this will be Lando, and then this will be Luke. Is that good?
Sure.
Okay.
Lando is deeper than Luke.
Cool. I'm trying. Okay. I am grateful Chewbacca has allowed...
She's really good at reading.
I can't even do it. It's so... Okay.
Reading grammatical.
Take two. I am grateful Chewbacca has allowed me to go with him. I will return with Han or die in the process. I have a great debt to repay. Don't worry. They'll find him.
May the Force be with you. Lando and company leave.
I'll be leaving shortly also. I have left unfinished things.
You know it's Han I love, don't you?
Yes. But I have been swept into another sphere. Han is better for you. Don't worry. They'll find him.
He smiles and gets a kiss on the forehead. The Jedi and the princess turn and look out the giant viewport as the M. Falcon pulls gracefully away and disappears into the sea of stars.
End scene.
I am dying at the fact that out of nowhere, she's just like, you know I love Han, right?
See, this is why I figured this would be the scene that we should read.
That is so funny. Guys, I'm a better actor than that. I was dramatically reading.
We were both doing it on purpose.
Oh, that's so funny.
So I hope you enjoyed that. If you would like to read the rest of the drafts, including George Lucas's draft, they are online and they are in the making of Star Wars Empire
Strikes
Back. Oh, that
is so funny. She, all of a sudden, you know I love Han.
You want to read this too then? Since you love the dialogue? I have some Han Solo dialogue too that George wrote.
God. Oh my god. Okay. I'm playing Han Solo.
Yay!
They say I kiss very well, but don't worry. I'm not going to kiss you here. You see, I'm quite selfish about my pleasures.
That's my favorite.
And it wouldn't be so much fun for me now. I'm going to wait for you to grow up a little more. That I wish they would have loved. That's a good line.
That part's
I'm sure
so
we'll
bad.
Meet again. Like, I wish this line was just like, imagine like cocky Han Solo being like, they say I kiss well, but don't worry, you're not gonna see it. I'm gonna wait for you to grow up a little more. There. I just condensed that whole line into three sentences.
And if I may, just to give some credit to George Lucas, he did write the I'm not a committee line.
I am not a committee!
And then there's a line in the script that was cut that Harrison feels is like the whole, you know, the whole soul of who Han is, because he brings it up in the transcript of like, if this is who Han is there isn't enough life on this ice cube to... Oh, no, wait, that's not right. That's the wrong one. Anyway, he wrote... I can't find it. Wrong line.
Whatever.
He would rather fight than run away and freeze.
Which, oh, yeah.
Yeah.
He doesn't say that?
Does he not say it? I didn't catch it when I watched it. Maybe he does.
Remember.
Send us the tweets. But that was another thing about the transcript, too, was that Harrison's like, I would just fight. Like, why am I not fighting? We have to find a reason why I'm not fighting back.
Yeah, he doesn't want to free him.
And when they made the one last thing that I love, too, is that when they made the mold of his face, mm-hmm. he was, like, very sort of, like, dead and, you know, not doing anything. And Chris was like, no, like, Han Solo would fight. Like, he would fight to get out of this in a way. So they sent him back, and that's why his face is all.
Yeah. What I don't understand is they have his hands handcuffed, but then suddenly his hands are, like, up in the air looking like claws.
I thought they took the handcuffs off.
No,
they kept the side things.
No, he has handcuffs on, so all of a sudden his arms are like claws.
Because I noticed, I thought they took them off, but they kept the arm things on his arm.
I don't know, but his hands weren't up, and suddenly they're up.
That is a little, you know, implausible,
no. All right.
We'll see you in 2 weeks for Raiders of the Lost Ark.
All right. You can follow me on Twitter at Rachel Leishman.
You can follow me on Twitter at Lauren Milberger. We are also the Fordcast PC on Twitter.
And the Fordcast Podcast on Tumblr.
And also on Facebook. And we are now on Instagram. And on Instagram, we will be doing the movie that we're about to do. So you can get, you know, pictures. Right now, we're doing, obviously, Raiders of the Lost Ark. But we had... I can't speak today. We had Empire, so you can check that out. And please review and rate us on iTunes. It really helps the podcast get out there and people to find us. Just be sure to go under your profile and make a nickname, and that's how it's going to work.
Yep.
And thanks for all the lovely letters and notes that we've been getting.
Yes, thank you guys so much.
Yeah.
Thank you for the nice person who said they liked my voice. I appreciated that note. I was like, oh, great, someone likes it. I don't, but thanks.
You're on the right track, kid.
I'm on the track. All right.
Bye.
Bye.